It's great to have fathers in the house. It's great to have fathers. And what is so amazing is that we have a God that calls himself our Father. And it is such a privilege to be able to serve a God that actually reveals himself in such an intimate way that we can relate to him. And as we honor our fathers here on earth, it's also great to know that we have a Father in heaven that loves us, that does our landscaping at times for us, even our washing. We were away for a week, and we left some of our washing to dry outside. It has been washed, I think, about 5 times while we were gone, and again this morning, so it will be on the line for a while. Nevertheless, this morning I want to share about something that is very special and dear to me. Maybe the most significant thing or the significant aspect in my relationship with God. The one thing that the Holy Spirit has used the most to change and direct my life. The stability in my life in an ever-changing world where the moral goalposts constantly change. And even doctrine constantly changes. There is a stability in my life in the midst of the fog of uncertainty and confusion of different opinions, or in those desperate moments when I cry out to God for help or direction, there is something that I can trust that God will use in my life. This is the one thing that I can trust that God will use to reveal himself and to speak through, and where he will speak directly to me or confirm what the Holy Spirit has already been speaking through that still small voice. And that, ironically, is called the Word of God. It's so interesting that we call the Bible the Word of God. And it's about this Word of God that this morning I would like to share something. And I would like to impart maybe some passion and love that I have for the Word of God. It is sad to see in the charismatic church today how we so easily substitute hearing the voice of God with feelings and circumstances and experience. You know, we have lost an appetite for waiting on God, for seeking his face to hear his voice. Let him speak to us, but rather we allow circumstances and feelings to dictate and to substitute hearing the voice of God. I remember being in London as a pastor. I had so many South Africans coming over to London. And so many came to me as circumstances in London were against them. And they were confused and depressed. And they started to doubt in themselves and they started to doubt God because everything is going against them. And I always used to ask them, but how did you get here? And they would all say, but they believe that God spoke to them. And I asked them, how did God speak to you? And they would say, but a door opened for me. And I had amazing feelings of peace. And I was convinced that God called me to come to London because of the circumstances and the feelings. And then when they got to London, the circumstances changed. And then all of a sudden, they doubted whether God actually speaks to them. And it is so ironic to see how so many Christians today substitute hearing the voice for God by circumstances and feelings and experience. And I'm not saying that God cannot use circumstances and feelings an experience to speak to us. But it is so sad to see how we so easily allow circumstances and feeling to replace hearing the voice of God. Because if we have a word, if God speaks to us, you know what? It doesn't matter how I feel. It doesn't matter what circumstances dictate because I know God has spoken. And I can endure circumstances. I can endure feelings because of the Word of God in my life. And this morning, I don't want to speak about hearing the voice of God, I want to speak about something closely related to that, and that is simply the Word of God, the Bible, that we have, each one of us. We need to know to be rooted in and to abide in the Word of God, to be able to discern the feelings, the circumstances, and the experience. But there's something more than just the ability to discern and know the truth through the Word of God. The Word of God is life. It is life itself. It is the secret to that abundant life that Christ came to give to all of us. You know, we know so clearly that scripture that says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And then something amazingly happened. The Word became flesh and lived amongst us. It is that same Word today that we have contained in this book. Not just the example, but the Word itself that is life. And those who live by it, you know, Jeremiah 17 verse 8 says, "He shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and it will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will it cease from yielding fruit." We know John chapter 15 that speaks about the vine, and that says that we are the branches and Christ is the vine, and that we need to abide in Him, and that we cannot bear fruit unless we abide in Him. And the branches that does not bear fruit is cut away. But if we abide in Him, fruit will come forth. And then later on, it says something so significant that I was meditating upon and talking to God about. Here in verse 7, it says, "If you abide in Me and My words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this My Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be My disciples." What an amazing promise. That if we abide in Him and His word abide in us, we will ask what we desire and it shall be done for us. And when I read this, I was again just awoken by the desire to see this fulfilled in my life. And I started to speak to God and ask Him about it. And this morning, I want to talk about what does it mean for the word to abide in us. What does it mean when Scripture says we must abide in Christ is one thing, but then there's another thing when the word abides in us. And I want us to look at what does that mean. Because within it, there is something amazing. It has the potential and the ability to produce fruit in us that will glorify God. And I think all of us, Pastor Henny 2 weeks ago, shared about the fact that primarily man was created for God's glory. And there's nothing greater to be able to glorify God through our life. And our greatest desire should be that. And the Word of God is key to see God glorified in and through us. And I want us to look at that. In Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 is a very well-known scripture that we always read in relation to the Word of God, that it says that the Word of God is alive and active. It says here, "For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart." You know, it's alive and active because it produces something in us. It produces something in us that changes us. That's what makes it alive. It's not just a normal book. It's not just a great novel. It is something far greater. And it even speaks here of the fact that it judges the thoughts and the attitudes of our hearts. And later on, when I'm going to speak about the mirror, we'll see how it has the capacity to judge the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart, and why it is so necessary to do that. But you know what? There are so many Christians today that stagnate in their relationship with God, that become lukewarm and no longer growing in their relationship with God, because I believe so many of them have lost their love for the Word. They no longer yearn to spend time in it, to be exposed to it, to allow it to work in their lives. The Holy Spirit inspired the Word. You know, the Word that we have today is inspired by the Holy Spirit, but also made alive by Him. Here in 2 Peter 1, verse 19 to 21, we read, "We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns of the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as though they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." And you know what is so amazing about the Word of God? It is not just inspired by the Holy Spirit. It is not just reliable. In this world that we live in today, with so many different opinions and philosophies and doctrines, it says it's like a light in the darkness. And I'm sure all of you have been alive long enough to be exposed to all the different opinions and philosophies in this world. And sometimes there's so much confusion concerning what is right and what is wrong. What is the way to take? What is reasonable, what is not? You know, Scripture declares, God declares, that the Word of God is like the light in the darkness. And we should take note of it. We should follow it. Because in that, we find the truth. In that, we find the direction that we need to look into. You know, so many Christians read so many different books. And then you see somebody reads a book of this and this author, and then they go in this direction. And then they read another book, and then they go in this direction. I don't know if you've noticed that. You know, and there's great books available out there, but I always say you should spend more time in the Bible than in any other book. But the problem why people go in this direction and then in this direction is because we read more other books than the Bible itself. And we do no longer have the ability to discern what is truth and what is false. And we are so easily persuaded by men's opinion because we spend so much time in books written by men more than we spend in the Bible itself. And it's important to be rooted in this. You know what? Because Scripture can be taken out of context. I can prove anything for you through Scripture. Honestly. I can preach and convince you concern many things that's not even scriptural by using Scripture. But if you are not rooted in the Word, if you don't know the context of it, if it's not alive in you, you will not be able to discern when I'm bending Scripture for my own opinion. Do you follow me? And I think that is why it's so important as Christians, we need to cultivate a love for the Word, and we need to spend time in it. And practically, spend more time in this book than any other book. Because if you spend more time in the Bible, you'll be able to discern what is truth and what is not. The Bible is good for instruction and equipping. Listen to this, 2 Timothy 3, verse 12 to 17. It says, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. What a powerful statement. You know what? This book has everything you need to be complete and thoroughly equipped. This book. This Word of God. Has everything that you need to be thoroughly equipped and complete in our service and knowledge of God. And you know why I say that? It's because there are so many seminars and conferences all over the world. You know, and seminars and conferences are great because it teaches you what the Word says and it guides you to apply the Word. But what is so sad to see is that there are so many people, they go from this country to that country to this country, from one conference to the other conference, to learn more about God. Where it is available right here, the problem is we don't apply it. You see, if you apply what you learn here, you don't need to go to the States. You don't need to go to Canada. You don't need to go to the middle of Africa. You only need to apply what's already here. And you will have what they have in America right here. But the reason we go to America is because they are applying something that we are not. And we think by going there, we're going to catch something. Yes, there is impartation. There is an excitement. There is an awareness of the application of it. But you know what? Nothing's going to happen unless you apply what is already there. There's nothing new. It's already here. It is in the application that it becomes real in us. The power of God that brings salvation is contained in this word. We know Romans 1 verse 16 that says, for I am persuaded of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. And you know why it is the power of God? Because it contains truth. It contains truth. And that is a very scary word in the philosophy in the day that we live in, truth. Because truth has become relevant. It's no longer absolute. But the Bible contains truth, which has the power to save. It is the power of God unto salvation. I always say, you know, truth is not hard to find. What is hard is once you've found the truth, to conform to it. That's where it becomes difficult. And that's why so many people will rather deny truth than conform to it. Because truth in itself is not hard to find. God created the universe and everything in it declares who He is. So it's not difficult to find the truth. It is difficult, however, once you've found it, to conform to it. And therefore, many people rather deny the existence of truth than to conform to the truth. We rather try and invent and reinvent and reinterpret truth than conform to it. But the truth is what makes the gospel powerful. The truth is what makes the word powerful. And you know what? The truth is simple. I love the word of God. In its simplicity lies its power. And so many times people try to make it so complicated. But we need to accept it with humility, for it has the power to save. You know, James 1 verse 21 says, "Therefore get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you." Humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. You know, something about the word of God is the fact that our will is involved. Our will is involved. And that is a very important aspect about it. We need to accept it and apply it. But the opposite is also true. If we go back to the Garden of Eden, we know the story of the fall, and I want us to quickly turn there. We read here in chapter 3, from verse 1 to 13, it says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other of the wild animals that the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, 'Did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'You may eat from the trees in the garden, but God did say, we must not eat the fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you would die.'" Now, it's very interesting to note here, Eve knew the word of God. You see, Satan started to test her knowledge of the word of God. He kind of changed it a little bit. He kind of tests her knowledge. He says, "Did God really say you're not allowed to eat of any tree?" Testing her knowledge. And she responded correctly, saying, "You know what? Actually, God said we can eat of all the fruit, of all the trees, except the one." So she knew the word. But then something else happened. Satan started to add a little bit of spin to it. He said, "For you will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman. "For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good from evil." So Satan questioned God's word. How did he question it? He reinterpreted it. Now, the reason I'm going back to the basics is because that still happens today. The method of questioning God's word is to reinterpret it. He put a little bit of a spin to it. He changed the meaning a little bit. He said, "You know what? You will actually not die. Actually, when God said, 'Do not eat,' he didn't really mean 'do not.'" He reinterpreted it. He gave it a different meaning. "And when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. And she also gave it to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. And then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked, and they sewed thick leaves together and made coverings for themselves." So it's interesting to see how Satan reinterpreted the word to something pleasing for the ear, pleasing to the soul. He reinterpreted "do not eat" as into "you may eat." Do you realize that? God says, "Do not eat." Satan added a little spin to it, reinterpreted it, made it pleasing to the soul and the ear, and he changed it to, "Well, actually, you can eat of it, sort of." But you know what? "Do not eat" never means "you may eat." There's a difference between the two. And Satan still today questions God's word by reinterpreting it, by putting a little bit of a spin to it, by putting something in that is pleasing to the soul. And then it continues, "Then man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called to the man, "Where are you?" And he answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And then he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "You know, the woman you put here with me, she gave me some of the fruit to eat, and I ate it." And then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you've done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." You know what is interesting? Deception is not an excuse. Deception is not an excuse. And I believe the reason why deception is not an excuse is because the truth is out there. One day, we will not be able to stand before God and say, "You know, I was deceived." Because Eve tried that. That is not an excuse. And the reason why it's not an excuse is because the truth is out there. It's not hard to find. If you diligently seek it, you will find it. God says, "If you diligently seek me, I will make myself known to you." So deception is not an excuse, because it's there for anyone to find the truth. But sometimes we hear what we want to hear. We hear what is pleasing to us, pleasing to our soul, and almost justify where we're at. Justify what we really want. Because we live in a world that has a lot of desires, and our sinful nature craves that. You know what? And then the Word of God comes and brings the opposite. Sometimes the Word of God is so challenging, it says stuff that makes absolute no sense in this world. Have you noticed that before? It confronts us with a way of living that is completely different to the world that we live in. And sometimes we have a notion to listen to the reinterpretation of it so that it is pleasing to us and it does not demand us to conform or to change. And that's exactly what happened here. But you know what? The Word of God is meant to change us. And that is where some are afraid of it, but others have discovered the amazing adventure of it. The Word of God is meant to change who I am in this world. It's not meant to allow me to stay the same. Because there's something about God that is completely different to this world. And He has such a desire to see me conform to who He is. Not because He necessarily is looking to find fault in my life. But He came to give me life. He came to give me life in abundance. That is only found in truth, which is different to the lie. And He wants me to conform. It's like a coach teaching or training a rugby team. Your aim is to let them win. So yes, there are certain things you need to do to get there. But God has the same attitude. Sometimes we think God wants to change us because He's trying to find fault in us. No, God knows all our faults and our mistakes, but He wants us to come to that place where we experience the life that He's meant to give us. And that sometimes means that I need to change. Well, most of the time it means I need to change. But that's what the Word has come to do in us. Change takes place through application and not just the hearing of the Word. And I think that is where many times people miss it. We think that the hearing of the Word produces change. But it is not the hearing in itself, but the application of it that produces change in us. And that's where God starts to work. Accepting the Word of God is more than just faith in it. You know, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 27, it starts off with a very interesting word. And whenever you see this in a passage, you can always go and look what it refers to. It starts off with "therefore." Now, I love "therefores," because I love reading the Word in context. But anyway, if you look in Matthew chapter 7, "therefore," it refers to the portion of Scripture just preceding it. Now, Pastor Henny 2 weeks ago shared about that portion of Scripture. It said, "Many in those days will call me Lord, Lord, and I will say, you know what, quite frankly, I didn't know you. Therefore." In the context of, "Many will in that day call me Lord, Lord, and I will say, you know, actually, I never knew you. Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet he did not fall, because he had his foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Now it's interesting, Luke also recorded this parable of Jesus, and he kind of shortened the therefore, put it in a bite size, and here from verse 46 we read, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you do not do what I say?" Referring to exactly the same portion as we earlier spoke about. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you do not do what I say? "As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood came and the torrent struck that house, but it could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. And the moment the torrent struck that house, its collapse and his destruction was complete." Now, into the context of "many will call me Lord, Lord," it's interesting that the following parable emphasizes that point, and it says something very interesting. It says here both people, in the context of people thinking that they know God, thinking that they serve God, it says both of those builders, they heard the word of God. Both of them heard them. Both of those builders thought they built their house on something secure. The challenge is only one did. And the difference between the one whose collapse was complete and the one who stood at the end was the one who put the words into practice. You see, it's not the hearing of the word that changes us. It is the application of it. It is applying the word of God. Not the knowledge of it, the application of it. That is why accountability is so important. I don't know if you've noticed, Pastor Fred has spoken a lot about accountability over the weeks past. Accountability is very important because we need to understand it is not just about the hearing of the sermon, the reading of the Bible, but it is the application of it that makes the difference. And that's why it's so important that we'll be able to grow in a relationship with one another where we can ask each other, "So what is God saying to you? I mean, what has God been speaking to you about? And what is God saying to us as a church through the sermon?" I mean, the reason why we come on Sundays is that we have an expectation to fellowship, to worship, but also to receive something from God for us as a family. Where are we going? So what is God saying to us? And also, very importantly, what is God saying to you? Because God will not just speak to you on a Sunday. He'll speak to you as you spend time with Him. The more you spend time in this Word, the more God will speak to you. Because why? Because you are seeking Him. Because after all, this is the Word of God. So if you seek God, seek Him through this and through prayer. But you know what? As you seek Him, God will speak to you. But then when God speaks to you, apply it. Don't just listen. Don't just hear. Don't just believe. Live it. Apply it. Because it is in that change takes place. In James 1, verse 21 to 25, it continues. It says, "Therefore lay aside all filthiness and the overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But if he who looks into the perfect law of liberty continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but the doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." Now, I have brought the mirror here, and that's my sermon. The rest was just the introduction. The mirror. James says, the word is like a mirror in which we observe ourselves. And some take note of what they see, and others forget. Those who take note are those who apply the word, and those who forget are those who simply hear and move on. You know, and that's such a powerful metaphor. Even in the natural, you know what? You wake up in the morning and you go to the mirror. And then, you know, normally the ladies more than the guys have a great fright at what they see. You know, we have an image of ourselves, how we look, right? And then we wake up in the morning and we still think we look how we looked last night, right? And then we go to the mirror and then all of a sudden it looks completely different. The hair is out of place, the spots are everywhere, blemishes, rings around the eyes, you know the things, ladies. You know, guys, we are, you know, we just need to do this. But nevertheless, when I wake up most mornings, my hair is always like this. Now, I can do one or two things. I can look in the mirror and see the discrepancy. And I can either change what I see, or I can forget what I see and go on with life. You know what? If I go to work the way I look when I wake up, it might not be so pleasant. And I think for most ladies also. My wife is still young. She doesn't need a lot of makeup. But her hair sometimes needs some attention. But it's the same with the word. You see, the word, we all have a perception of who we are and where we're at. But when we come to the word of God, it reflects who we are in relation to who God wants us to be. Who we are versus who God wants us to be. Who we are versus who Christ is. Because we're all meant to become like Him. And when we look into the Word, we see all of a sudden the idea of what I had in relation to the idea who God wants me to become. And for me, there's a discrepancy. And I trust for you also. For all of us, there will be a discrepancy of who God wants us to be. The question is, what do you do when you see the discrepancy? When you see there is something, there's some area in my life that still needs to change, what do I do? Do I take note of the fact that I still need to work on my tongue and leave? Or do I go to God and say, hey, God, I realize there's something wrong with the way I speak, with the language I use, or the frequency of it. God, I pray that you will help me to become who you want me to be. You see, that is where the difference is. And then we say, okay, God, I realize there's something that needs to happen. I pray that you will come and help me to change that. So that tomorrow morning when I stand in that mirror again, I will see some improvement. And that is what God is encouraging us to do. You know what? When we spend time in the Word, when we see who we are, what are we doing with that discrepancy? Are we just moving away as if nothing is wrong? Or are we actually asking God to do something about it? I remember when I was in YWAM as a young man, I spoke way too much. And I had this very sharp sense of humor, but very sarcastic as well. And sarcasm, sometimes funny, but it hurts more than what it's funny. And I used to speak a lot. And then I looked into the mirror one day, I read in the book of James. It says, those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. And I was all of a sudden confronted with something in the mirror. And I realized, God, there's a discrepancy. And then I said to God, God, I pray that you will help me because I don't know how to do this. I actually don't know. I realize and I recognize that you are saying to me, I need to change in the way I talk, in how I talk, in the frequency that I talk, in the manner that I do. But God, it is so difficult to change, so I ask you that you will come and teach me. I made a simple request. I said, God, Holy Spirit, teach me to put a guard before my mouth. And it is so amazing how the Holy Spirit, every time I spoke, was right there. And He said, okay, slowly now. Don't say that. Stop. That's enough. And it's amazing to have experienced a process of God actually coming alongside me, mentoring me to the place where I stop before I speak and I think. It's a small thing, but it changed my life. Because then I realized all of a sudden I'm no longer intimidated to look in the mirror. Because you know what? Sometimes it's very intimidating to look in this mirror because of the reality of the discrepancy. But when I realized, but God actually shows that not to judge me, but to invite me to be changed, it changed my life. All of a sudden it became an adventure to look into this book and say, okay, God, well, we're working on this thing and we're getting somewhere. What's next? Because I realize it's not what I need to do. It's simply I'm taking on God's word, applying it to my life, and allowing God to do the change in me. And that's what makes the word of God alive and powerful. It discerns the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. As I read the word, you know, I think I am fine. I think I'm a good husband. Then I read the word and I see, wow, I must love my wife as Christ loves the church, laying down his life for her. Okay. Here's a discrepancy. What am I going to do about it? Am I going to leave it? Or am I going to say, okay, God, you're trying to say something to me. God, I pray that you will help me to change. And then it's amazing to see how he starts to work in me. Because I choose, my will is involved, I choose to apply it in my life. So we see ourselves in relation to Christ. And we need to change. We need to ask him to change. It is in our response to the word and our willingness to accept it. To accept it. Yes, God, I meant to be careful with the words that I speak. It's not irrelevant. It's relevant. It's important. Even as I was preparing, you know what? I still have a habit of completing people's sentences. I've realized it over the past year or so. I've become like impatient in conversations. When somebody speaks to me, I want to complete the sentence. And as I was preparing, even this time, I read here earlier, it says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And even as I was preparing, God was saying, okay, well, while we're at this tongue thing, you are still too quick to speak. So I said, okay, God, I see a discrepancy. Okay, God, I pray that you will help me, Holy Spirit, to become slow to speak and quick to listen. And it's amazing to see, even as I'm speaking and sharing with you, you know, as I was preparing, because I'm spending time, I love spending time in the Word, because every time it becomes alive to me and God speaks to me. You know what I've realized is so many times we come to God and we ask God for stuff. Who of you ask God for stuff? I ask God for stuff all the time. I ask God for direction. I ask God for help. I ask God for many things. You know, should I do this? Shall I buy this car? Shall I buy this house? Shall I date this girl? Shall I marry her? Must I go here? Must I go there? That's great. Who of you have experienced silences in the midst of those questions? Mm-hmm. And then we start looking at circumstances and feelings and experiences, huh? Oh, just checking. But anyway, then I've realized the moment I go to God and I actually ask God about stuff that he wants to change in me, that he actually wants to see done in my life, all of a sudden heaven opens. You know what's so amazing? God speaks the most to me when I come to him and say, God, I want to change. It's amazing. He actually has a lot to say when I say, God, actually, oh yeah, while we're on this conversation, there was something you told me a week ago about change. I pray that, then all of a sudden, God has a lot to say. And it's amazing that we sometimes struggle to identify the voice of God because we hear it so seldom. But I want to encourage you as you go to God and say, God, I want you to come and do your purpose in my life. There's a lot of stuff that I want in my life. And I ask God about that. And there's a place for that. But there's a lot of stuff that God wants to do in my life. And sometimes there's a difference between the stuff that I want in my life and the stuff God wants in my life. And I've realized the moment I start asking God about the stuff that he wants in my life, he talks a lot more. Sometimes he's just quiet because you know what? That's not the point right now. The point is what I've been speaking to you about. Sometimes we need to ask ourselves, when last did God speak to you? And what did he tell you? Have you done anything about it yet? Why don't you ask God to do something about it? Because it's in that also that we grow in our experience of God. It is not in the hearing, but in the doing that the word becomes powerful. You know, sometimes what God says and what we see in the mirror is quite difficult. If you've experienced that, you read a portion of Scripture and it can be quite difficult. I mean, I've been spending time quite recently and God challenged me about Matthew chapter 5. I don't know if you've read that before. You all know about an eye for an eye, but I tell you to turn the other cheek. Well, let me read you something that is really challenging to me personally. God speaks here about going the second mile. You said you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. In other words, God is saying, you know, you have about the rights of retaliation. You know about the rights and the guidelines of retaliation. You have the right, if somebody hits you on the ear, to hit them back on the ear. You don't have the right if somebody hits you in the ear to chop off their leg. You don't have that right. But if somebody hits you, you have the right to hit them back. Then Jesus comes saying, no, but I want you, even though you have the right to retaliate, I don't want you to resist an evil person. As a matter of fact, if they slap you, even though you've got the right to slap them back, I want you to turn the other cheek. I don't want you to use your right. Then he goes on, and he goes on very challenging, and he says, but I say to you, but I tell you, do not resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. If anyone wants to sue you and to take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and from him wants to borrow, do not turn away. In other words, God is not just saying, even though you've got a right to retaliate, I want you not to retaliate. Even though you've got the right to retaliate, I want you to bless them. Now that's very challenging to me. And I'm working through this. And as I'm working through this, Scripture continues. And it says, you have heard that it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, the mirror. For he makes the sun shine on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? But if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. How challenging that is. God is saying, listen, even though you've got the right to retaliate, I don't want you to retaliate. As a matter of fact, I want you to bless. And I don't want you just to bless those who bless you. I want you to bless those who hate you. Because in that, you will become my children. In that, you will become different in this world. In that, you will be known as the sons and daughters of God, because you are doing what is different to what the world is doing. And he wants us to be changed. He wants us to be conformed, because he wants us to be salt and light in this world. And the way he's going to do that is through his word. He's going to speak to you and I, and he's going to challenge us with where we're at. And then he's going to ask and wait for us. What are we going to do? Am I going to say this word? Well, let's see how I can reinterpret this. Clearly, it cannot mean if I have the right to retaliate, I should not retaliate. Let me see if I can reinterpret this in such a way that I don't need to bless when I'm wrongfully accused. You see how the word works. But yet in the application of it, as difficult as it may be, you know what, every time I take these difficult things and I apply it in my life, it is as if the word and the Holy Spirit becomes alive in me. And all of a sudden God starts to speak to me and he starts to direct me. And as I do that, you know what? It is such an amazing thing to experience God's presence and his affirmation in our changing. But that experience and affirmation only happens through the application of the word. And that is what makes the word of God powerful and alive. You know, in 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18 it says, but we all with unveiled face, behold, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of God. As I said, the mirror is not just a reflection of who we are. It is who Christ is and we in relation to Him. And when we see who He is, we are meant to be changed into that. The good news is, it says here, by the Spirit of God. I don't have to change. I only need to apply. Through the application, the Holy Spirit comes and changes me. He comes and changes you. So I want to encourage you, don't just read the Word. Don't just look into the mirror. But when you see, ask God to come and do. Put your faith and trust in it and apply that in your life. If it's difficult, ask God to come and work in you. But don't walk away. Don't forget what you saw. Allow Him to teach Him. You know what? Many people come to me, they say they want mentors. They would love somebody older to mentor them. You know what? God is making an invitation. He's saying, I want to mentor you. Jesus called His disciples. He said, follow Me and I will make you fishers of men. You fishermen, normal men, uneducated, nobodies. Jesus makes an invitation. He says, follow Me. Follow My word, follow My example. And as you follow Me, I will change you. I will change you into something different. That invitation is still out there. God says, follow Me. Follow My word. Follow My example. And I will change you. Many of us sit here today and we have things in our life that we know that we need to change. Or we are not satisfied with certain aspects of our character. And we are desperate to change. And we are struggling with how to change. God is simply saying, follow Me. Follow Me and I will change you. You don't have to change. Just follow Me and see how I change you. See how you become something different. And that's the invitation for us this morning, to follow Him. What has God been saying to you? When last have you done what He said? When last did you look into the mirror and act on the discrepancy? God wants you to see something. He wants to build something in your life. He wants to develop a godly character in you. And He wants to walk around with you through His Spirit to transform you. We all want to get to that place that our life glorifies God in everything that we do and say. And God wants to do it in your lifetime. Not when you get to heaven. He wants to do it now. And the invitation is there for all of us to follow Him. So I want to encourage you this morning, as you read the Bible, don't forget what you see, but apply it in your life. Sometimes it can be daunting and challenging, but you know what? 1 John 14 verse 26 says, but we have the help of the Holy Spirit who will teach us all things. If you really want to grow in your relationship with God beyond where you're at, apply the Word. Invite the Holy Spirit to come and teach you. What a great adventure it is to experience Him in such a way. And I can testify of that and know of many others also. So I want to encourage you to spend time in the Word. Not just for the knowledge of it, but for the life that it contains. And then apply it and see how God changed your life. See how He comes and establishes His purposes in you. Ask God, the Holy Spirit, to teach you and to mentor you. Change you, to be doers of the Word and not just hearers. When you hear a sermon, don't just say, that was a good sermon, or that was freaky, or that was challenging. Ask God, what is He saying to you? Ask God to speak to you. And when He does, act on it. Apply it in your life. Ask Him to make it part of your life and see how He changes you. So let us stand. I know there are some people that are afraid of what they may see in the mirror. But God is not afraid. God is not afraid of who I am and my shortcomings. He's excited to see that established. God is excited to change you. And I know for some of you here today, there are maybe things in your life that you want to see changed. Maybe you're struggling with something. Maybe it's depression, or it's a character trait, or maybe it's even a sin in your life. You know what? It doesn't really matter to God. God has already given you the solution. It's found in truth, in His Word and through His Spirit. And this morning as we pray, I want to invite you to read the Scripture. Maybe some of us just need to cultivate again a love for it, to spend some time in it. Maybe some of us need it to open up to us more. You know what? It's as simple as a prayer away. When you go to God and you say, God, please come and do what you say you want to do in my life. Come and partner with me. So let us pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, God, that you love us so much, that you are not willing to leave us the way we are. God, you saw us dead in our sin and our trespasses, helpless, God. And you gave your Son on the cross so that we can be changed, so that we can be set free. God, you saw the pain and the baggage, Lord. You saw the sickness, God. You saw our desperate state, Lord, and you loved us so much that you gave everything you had so that we can change, so that we can become free, that we can become healed, that we can be set free, God, that we can know you. Lord, that we can be changed to become children of God through faith in you, and that we can be light and salt in this world, and that men and women may know that we are yours because of the fruit that is produced in us through you. And God, I want to thank you that you gave us your word so that we can grow in it, that we can be changed by it. And God, this morning I pray, Lord, that as we come to you, Lord, that you will show us every day more of yourself. God, that you will reveal more of you, and that we will not be afraid when you speak to us about who we are. That we will have confidence, God, to come to you and ask you to come and change us. Come into our life, God, and change the discrepancies within us. God, I pray that you will come and renew our minds. God, that you will renew the way we think about ourselves, about this world, about others, and about you. God, I pray that you will do it through your word, because you have given this to us. And God, I'm going to pray for each and every person here today. Maybe God has been speaking to you this morning. Maybe there's something in your life that you know that needs to be changed. Or maybe you're afraid of something that needs to be changed. Maybe God has already been speaking to you about something. If that is you today, I just want you to act on what God is saying. I'm going to give you an opportunity, and I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I just ask you to respond to God, just where you're at. Just by saying, God, here I am. Just raise your hand and say, God, I know you've been speaking to me. God, and there are things in my life that you want me to change. And God, I pray that you will come and do it in my life. God, I pray that you will come and establish it in me. God, I pray that you will come and set me free. Change me, God. Transform me, Lord. I just want you, just where you're at, just to bring that before God. Just bring that, what you know that God has been speaking to your life. No matter whether, you can drop your hands. No matter whether it's a character or a struggle, no matter what it is, why don't you just, in your own words, just where you are here to this morning, just bring it before God and invite Him. Invite Him to mentor you. Invite Him to change you. Invite Him to transform Him. And you act on that word. You say, God, I choose today that you come and change me, that you will help me. Just as you are, I'm going to give everybody a moment just to speak to God in your own heart, in your own words. For some of us, I really believe God is just challenging us to follow Him. To follow Him. In the midst of this world, in the midst of the philosophies and so many different opinions. God is challenging some of you here this morning to follow Him. Just to apply His word, even though it makes no sense. Trust Him and apply it in your life and see the change. See the change. See the change in your workplace. See the change in you. And I must add to it the fine print. As you follow Him, you will be persecuted. But don't be afraid of that. Don't be afraid what man can do, but allow God to come and establish in you. Because for some of us, it might mean to stand up for injustice in our workplaces, for what is right. And for some of us, it might mean we need to stand up for injustice in our families, amongst our friends. But God says, follow me. Follow me and see what I will do in you. Place me above man. Don't be afraid for man. Fear God. Worship Him. Follow Him. And see what God has to do for you. If that is you, I just want you also to respond in your own heart today. Maybe God has already been speaking to you about your workplace. Maybe stuff in your family. Maybe you were too afraid to apply what God says because of a fear for man. God wants you to be set free from that fear. But you need to apply the word and allow Him to do that. If that is you, if you are afraid, just quickly raise your hand. Just want to know who to pray for. Father, I thank You for all these hands, God. I thank You for all these hearts that is responding. God, I pray that You will come, Lord, by Your Spirit, Lord, and that You will come and make alive Your Word, God, in us. That You will come and change us, God. That You will come and set us free, God, from the things we want to be free of and the fears that we face. God, I pray, Lord, that we will choose to follow You and not man. That we will not listen for a reinterpretation of do not, but that we will not do. And if You say do, God, that we will follow. And we will not look for an excuse not to. God, I pray for a boldness, God, in You, God. I pray for a hunger and thirst for righteousness. A hunger and thirst for You, God. A hunger and thirst for Your kingdom, Lord, in our lives and our families, God. I pray, Lord, that You will establish, Lord, a hunger and thirst for Your word, God. A desire, Lord. I just pray, Lord, for the people here, if you want to have a desire for the word of God in your life, maybe you need that, maybe you long for that, just raise your hand to God. Say, God, here I am, God. I just want to have a desire for Your word. God, I pray for these hands, God. I pray that You will fill them, God, with a desire for Your word, God, as they come, Lord, as they choose today to set apart time to spend in Your word, God, as they choose to act on this desire, God. I pray, God, that You will meet them at that place, God. That 5 minutes, that 10 minutes, that half an hour, that hour, God, that they set apart for Your word, God. I pray that You will speak to them, Holy Spirit, that You will make it alive, God. That You will speak to them more than ever before, God. I pray, Lord, that they may discover the passion of Your word, Lord, and the mystery of it, God. I pray that it will become alive in them, God. I pray, Lord, for every person here, God, as they act on their desire, Lord, today, Lord, as they leave this place, God, I pray that they will not forget what they saw in the mirror. I pray that they will not forget what they hear You speak, God, but that they will act on it, God, that we will not be just hearers of Your words, deceiving ourselves, but that we will be doers of it, God, that we will be anxious, God, to see it fulfilled in our life, God, excited to hear something new, God, and to see the fruit of it in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for coming. May God bless you. Spend time in His Word. Allow Him to speak to you and act on it. If you're here and you've never given your life to God, you've never surrendered your life to Him, I would love to pray with you. Otherwise, may God bless you. If there's any other needs for prayer, if you feel you need some special prayer or extra prayer, you're more than welcome to stay behind. I'll be here. But thank you so much for coming. May God bless you. And spend time in His Word. Read it. Read it in context. Read an entire book. It was written that way. Don't just read chapter 1. Read the whole book of Romans. And and then read chapter 1. Enjoy it. It's a great adventure. May God bless you.